Mindful of the words which we heard only a few moments ago, may God give us his blessing and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. Good words to remember and share. Today we commemorate and celebrate the conversion of St. Paul, and we heard the story of that conversion in our first lesson today from the book of Acts. It is a remarkable story, in my opinion, perhaps one of the most remarkable stories in the New Testament. It's remarkable for a number of reasons, but let me share one reason with you this morning, and that is how we treat people who want to hurt us. How we treat people who want to hurt us. The earthly way of dealing with enemies is to find some way to either confine them or capture them or, if all else fails, kill them. That's how we deal, an earthly way of dealing with people who we consider our enemies. Clearly, Saul was an enemy of the early church. He was capturing, he was confining, he was binding new Christians who were following Jesus and turning them over to the synagogues, who perhaps would cast them out, or perhaps would confine them, or perhaps imprison them. But he was working in a way that was contrary to the will of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was no friend of the church. In fact, for all intents and purposes, the early church must have known him as an enemy. Saul was an enemy of the church. And it's surprising that the early church did not rise up against Saul. I mean, certainly in Jesus' day, there were zealots, Jews who felt the Romans should be forced by violence to leave their land. And they were willing to kill soldiers where they were able, or to otherwise cause distress among the Roman Empire, to act as rebels and revolutionaries amid their Jewish neighbors. There were zealots who were like that. Certainly, the early church could have taken on that same mantle and said, look, if you raise your hand against us, we will raise our hand against you. They could have taken on a very military way of understanding themselves, but instead they followed in the way of Christ. They were willing to accept the blows that were leveled upon them and not raise their hand against those who persecuted them and treated them badly. I tend to think if we were able to hear the prayers that were lifted up among the early church, there probably would have been at least a few prayers among early Christians in Jerusalem, and certainly as we hear in today's reading in Damascus, imploring God to stop Saul, for he is indeed an enemy of your church. He is capturing and imprisoning Christians, separating families, doing great damage to the church. Lord, raise your hand to him. Strike him down. I can almost imagine prayers like that in the early church. But you see, that's how human beings think. Even among Christians, that's how sometimes we think. We must subdue our enemy. We must imprison him. We must capture him. And if all else fails, we must kill him. But God has another plan in mind for Saul. For God knows that Saul is a man of passion, that in his own mind, Saul believes he is doing something that is right. He believes he is working for the good of God's own will and way, that he is following in the true faith that has been passed down to him, that he is a zealous Jew, and he wants to do God's will and God's work. And so God enlightens him, literally enlightens him, through a flash of light, through a voice from heaven. Saul is perhaps imprisoned by the light. Certainly his eyes cannot open, and he does not eat or see for 3 days as he is led by the hand into Damascus, where he meets a believer who prays with him so much, and his heart and mind and soul is opened to God's will and God's way. And he is embraced by God. And so embraces the way, Jesus Christ, who is the way, and becomes from that moment not only a believer, but a believer who wants to share his faith. And we call believers who want to share their faith evangelists, people who speak the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Keep this in your mind, I hope, because we have a tendency to think that our enemies, you can't help our enemies, they're our enemies, for God's sakes. They don't want to listen to us. They don't want to live different lives. The best we can hope for is to confine them, or make them powerless. But what God does is he converts. He transforms Saul into Paul, and Paul uses that same passion for God in ways that he never could have imagined, bringing others to the faith, enriching the faith with commentaries, with insights, with blessings upon blessings, ever mindful that he himself is the least of all disciples and the least of all apostles, for he did not know Christ in his life, but God sent him a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so even though he did not meet Jesus face to face, he is in intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. There are a lot of people in the world who would consider themselves our enemies. We should pray for them. We should pray that God would change their hearts. Because God can do that. We can't do that, but God can do that. God did it with Saul and created a mighty man of faith, a man who would reach out beyond the children of Israel to those who were outside of the faith of Jerusalem and of the temple, to those people who are Gentiles, to Greeks, to Romans, to all those who in the world were becoming perhaps much more powerful. And by reaching out to Gentiles, Christ has reached out to us, because very few of us have immediate Jewish roots. It is good to understand that God's ways are not our own ways. We have a tendency to let God do all the things that we care not to do or we cannot do. And so we live our lives solving our own problems. And those problems we cannot solve, we give to God. Why not begin with prayer rather than making prayer a last resort? Why not invite God into our lives in such a way as to make enormous changes? Lord, here I am. Do with me what you will. If you want me to do something, make me known what that thing is, and I will do it. And offering our lives and our time and our talents to Christ, and be surprised as to how God will use us. Well, Saul woke up one morning thinking he was going to capture some Christians and drag them back to Jerusalem. In a few days, he himself would realize that following in the way of Christ was the best thing he can do, and not only following, but getting others, encouraging others to see Christ as the Lord and Savior of all was the best thing he could ever do. He woke up one morning hating Christians and was able to say, perhaps only a few days later, I are one just like you. I am a Christian. I believe in that same Messiah that you believe in, and I'm willing to follow him and willing to encourage others to follow him too. God's ways are not our ways. God's solutions are not our solutions. Let us trust in God. Let us live lives offering ourselves, our time, and our talents to the Lord and expecting marvelous things to happen, because they will. Not the way we expect them, not as soon as we may want them, but they will indeed happen. God has a wonderful track record. If you read the Bible, you know these things are true. Let us believe that perhaps those who speak loudest about the foolishness and the hypocrisy and the ignorance of the church might be changed to see its wisdom, its truth, its beauty, and its justice. We are not a perfect people. We will make mistakes. Thanks be to God who forgives our sins and leads us so that we might lead others into lives of faith and mercy and hope and justice and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.